Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruel, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's show is episode number 47, featuring my conversation with the ever so vivacious Pat Carroll, who portrayed Meep Keys in the Freedom Writers feature film and voiced Ursula in The Little Mermaid. Pat Carroll reflects on playing such iconic characters like Meep Keys and Ursula and gives us insight into what it means to be an actor. After my interview with Pat, you'll hear from an original Freedom Writer, Narada Comans, who takes us back to that memorable moment when the real Meep Keys visited the Freedom Writers in Long Beach in room 203. Narada, forever changed by this encounter, shares how he and the rest of the Freedom Writers are that meet moment for the students that they visit, who write and invite Freedom Writers to their classrooms, just as the Freedom Writers did with Meep Keys all those years ago. I hope these touching tributes will leave you feeling enlightened and empowered to make a difference. You may be surprised to learn that today's guest, Pat Carroll, was Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid. In fact, as we entered her home to record this interview, my colleagues and I were tickled at the amount of Ursula memorabilia sent to her by voracious fans scattered throughout her living room. Like the character she plays, be it a villainous sea witch or heroic secretary, Pat Carroll is larger than life, and you could feel her energy in the room whenever she speaks. In one of the most pivotal scenes from the Freedom Writers movie, Pat, as Meep Keys, passes the baton to my students and emboldens them to become catalysts for change.
I've never had a hero before, but you are my hero.
Oh, no. No, young man, no. I am not a hero. No, I did what I had to do because it was the right thing to do. That is all. You know, we are all ordinary people, but even an ordinary secretary or a housewife or a teenager can, within their own small ways, turn on a small light in a dark room. Yeah? I have read your letters, and your teacher has been telling me many things about your experiences. You are the heroes. You are heroes every day.
Without further ado, here is my conversation with the illustrious Pat Carroll. We are in the beautiful home on Cape Cod with the most iconic woman. I am giddy like a schoolgirl. I think I squealed when I saw her. But I have been seeing her face and listening to her voice for years.
Have you?
Our fabulous audience knows her as Meep Keys in the Freedom Writers movie.
Yes!
But
amen,
for you Disney aficionados, she is the ever so precarious Ursula.
Ah, the worst, isn't
in
she?
In The Little Mermaid.
She's a tacky one, that one.
So we're going to have fun talking about you playing iconic roles, doing voiceovers, bringing things to life, and babysitting the children of the world who watch these films. You're like their lullaby.
Isn't that wonderful?
Let's start with the power of voice. You have the most iconic voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So let's start. When did you realize that you had this fabulous voice that could be on television?
I only knew at the age of 12. I wanted desperately to be an actress. Desperately. And I didn't know how. You know, and most kids don't know how to get to do what they dream of doing. Want to be a doctor? Well, how do you be a doctor when you're 12, but you're dreaming big? And the same thing about kids who dream of being actors. They don't know how to get there. you know, there are no simple answers, and usually they aren't from theatrical families, so they don't know how to jump in and just start or have a family member help them get started. And it's a dream world, this theatrical world, for children of, say, 12.
I love that you came from Shreveport, Louisiana.
I was born in Shreveport, but then my parents moved to California, so I grew up in Los Angeles, a cosmopolitan child.
But I love that you had paid homage earlier to the sisters, the nuns who raised you. Oh. So let's talk about your 12 years in Catholic schools.
Well, number one, I am so grateful that I had those 12 years. I bless my parents for putting me through Catholic education. I just know that nuns are the most selfless women in the world, usually the brightest. I never met a nun who slapped me with a ruler, never. They were the kindest, gentlest, most humorous. Oh my golly, they would make us laugh. God bless them for that. God gave them that gift because it is a gift and they have it. I wish my kids had had those nuns.
Do you think that your nuns allowed you to be curious and creative and pursue acting?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think they encouraged me. One of them in particular who had wanted to be an actress before she wanted to be a nun. And I think they were very helpful in putting in my path those experiences that would gratify my yearnings to be an actress. They didn't know how to get me started as an actress, but they knew what to put me in to help me be one. And that was ever wonderful. For any young girl, they were shining lights because they represented everything that's wonderful in women.
I listen to the adjectives that you're using, and it reminds me of how Anne Frank would have described Meep Geese.
Ah, yeah.
Literally.
Isn't that interesting?
Lovingly and, yeah, and being there to love and support. So it's ironic that you are now part of this iconic film in this iconic role. What drew you to the character of Meep Geese?
Well, just basically as an actress, whenever you're given a role to do, to act, you, as a professional actress, study that role, that character, that written character, because without writers writing the characters we do, we don't have work. You know, we really are so, or should be, so grateful to writers who create these characters. So we as actors should be inculcating writers all the time. We shouldn't have any friends but writers.
Well, we're in her home, and I'm looking at your library, oh, and we're surrounded by books.
Yes.
So clearly, well, you are a fan of the written word.
From the time I've learned to read, I have been a fan of the written word. It has meant so much to me, and the good nuns who taught me caught that, and so they put books in my hands that were way ahead of me in years and knowledge and learning, but they knew I would be heartened by that. It would be a job to do, to learn, and to find out what that writer had to say. And ever since then, I have been intrigued by writers. My housemate, Marcia Momblow, is a writer, and I am intrigued when she allows me to read something that she has written. I think that's so marvelous that people can, out of their brain, sit down and either type or write words that make us see what they have in their heads. I think that's extraordinary. And I have as a project in my life that I am going to write my story from my head and my typewriter because nobody else can tell my story.
Begin it. Begin it.
Well, it has started, so wish me luck. All of us should write our lives, because it's only when you sit down and start that you realize it's all been written for us. All we have to do is play it. And I have been so fortunate with my life. I'm ever grateful.
Do you have a memory of reading The Diary of Anne Frank when you were in school?
The Diary of Anne Frank came as a great shock to me when I read it, because I thought, oh my golly, if I had read this when I was 12, it would have changed so many things in my thinking, because that's an extraordinary book. And I think for youngsters, particularly girls, that book would have an impact that's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So I want to paint a picture for you. I'm a brand new teacher. I have students who have never read a book, who don't have libraries in their homes. They didn't go to Catholic schools. They went to their local public school. And I gave these students The Diary of Anne Frank. I bought it myself, gave it to my students, and they envisioned this woman. At the time, she was 87 years old. She lived to be 100, but she was 87.
God bless her. She deserved to.
And my students decided to write to her. They decided to write letters to Miep Geese, a little woman in Amsterdam who saved Anne Frank, and sent it to her like a message in a bottle. And I wonder what it was like for Miep Geese.
It had to be extraordinary to know that you've had that kind of impact on people, has had that kind of resonance in people. My God, that's fantastic. Fantastic.
So your scene in our movie is the scene that makes everyone cry.
Really?
So you show up, you read the letters, and the character Marcus, who is my beloved Darius, escorts you in. And they're dressed up, and there's flowers, and you speak to them so lovingly. So what was it like to encompass the spirit of this wonderful woman who we've all read about?
That's so funny. Because it's very difficult to talk, as an actor, I think, it's very difficult to talk about a character you've played. You're acting out the role of another human being, and oh golly, how difficult that is, and almost impossible, because you cannot be another human being. You can take on the outer clothing, the outer mannerisms of it, but you can't be that person. That person is only that person, and that's what's so great.
Are you one of those actors who watches yourself afterwards?
I run away. I've done it. I've made my money, so I get to run away.
So what does it feel like when you've done an iconic role and people say, this changed my life? How does that feel knowing that you are in people's living rooms? You're on their computers, you're
teachers
on
have more impact than actors have. Teachers do. Actors have reactions from people, but it's not impactful that much. Seldom do you feel like it has. It's very strange because you're always borrowing somebody else's life, which ain't easy because many times we are not in sympathy with somebody's life experiences because we haven't been there. We aren't that person, and we may not react in the same way.
On that vein, I think it's interesting where Miep is a real person. Ursula was a character on a page.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love how Disney allowed you to create Ursula. So can we move from the reality of Miep to the make-believe of Ursula? What was that
because they're two different things.
Absolutely. What was that
you like? They're totally different. And Ursula was on that page. She wasn't a real person. She was made up by a writer. And that writer had the wildest imagination. And Ursula is crazy. She's mad as a hatter. And thus, brilliant to try to play because she goes forever. Her energy is unstoppable. And that was all on the paper because actors can't make that up.
Because it was animated. For the two people on the planet who have not seen The Little Mermaid, describe for one of those two people what Ursula is. What does she embody in this
She embodies
film?
Energy.
Energy.
And she embodies good and bad.
She's the iconic villain, isn't she?
Yes, yes. And a big villain, but she enjoys it. And
she's in on the joke.
Yes, she is. And that's what I caught from what those writers put on paper. That's why writers are so important to actors, because sometimes they'll put down a word that says everything that you need as an actor for that character. Not all characters, for that character. And they wrote her, oh my God, they were blessed when they wrote that character, because for any actor, whether it's me or the next person, it was all there. It was all there. You didn't have to fight to dig up something about this character. It was right there on the page.
So when you get these words and Disney says, we're going to bring you into a studio and you're gonna speak and you're gonna sing. What was that like for you to think about the tones you wanted or the theatrical nature? Because she is larger than life.
Well, it's what you do with every role that they give you like that. You study it. You find out what you, as a performer, are capable of doing with that character in your own imagination. And then you set about trying to do it, which is great fun. It's great fun. It's not a horrible challenge. It's an exciting challenge. And every time I'm handed a script for a character that is either pictured on a page or the outlines are written about that character, it's the greatest fun in the world trying to make it come to life. It's fabulous.
Is it more fun to play a character who is revered, or is it more fun to be the villain?
Villain.
The villain.
Always, always the villain. The villain is more colorful. The villain has more energy. The villain has more relationship to other human beings. And people recognize themselves in a villain. They don't recognize themselves in angels, which I always find very interesting.
Did you ever find yourself sneaking into a movie theater and watching people's reactions to one of your films?
Like, no.
Never. So you've never, Disney never snuck you into a movie theater and hearing kids scream and point.
No.
What do you think that reaction would be like for you, for those of us that have been to the movie theater and experienced it?
I don't know whether I would like it or not. I would rather not know. I would rather just let that character be what it is and let people react the way they want to. I don't have to know about it.
So what do you know about Ursula? What is your relationship with Ursula? I'm in your living room and there's Ursula pillows and Ursula is everywhere. I feel like we are in a set
Ursula,
of The Little Mermaid.
I am Ursula. that's what it comes down to.
So we are surrounded by her.
Yes, you are absolutely surrounded by Ursula. And the minute I was handed that script, I knew exactly what to do with it because that was me.
So tell us about that. She is you. You are her. She lives in your beautiful Cape Cod home. Tell me what that was like to be the embodiment.
A lot of fun. Oh, yes, fun, because that character is put on the page. And don't forget, I'm only an actor. I don't write that thing that goes on the page, words and the outline of that character.
But you ad-libbed? Are you one of those wonderful actors who says, I'm going to add this word or I'm going to change this a bit?
No, because I have too much respect for writers.
Every writer is clapping right now. Every writer, call her.
Yeah, well, it's true. But that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be any differently. I, as an actor, am hired professionally because of the experience I've had in dealing with words written by another human being. And they can be a totally different character from anything I've ever played. My job is to make that come to life according to the way the writer wants it or the producer. Usually they are in cahoots and in agreement. So that vision is one vision, but that's my job as an actor.
I appreciate you saying that because the writer who wrote Freedom Writers, my dear friend Richard LaGravenes, your dear friend Richard LaGravenes, literally word for word captured what was said verbatim by Meep Geese, verbatim from my students. And I treasure the fact that he was able to capture it.
Absolutely.
You encapsulated it. And it is now
And that's treasure. The actor's job. He did his job so that we could do our job. Because without him, we don't have a job to do. You know what I mean?
Since you have acted on stage,
that's where
in television, in movies, and voiceovers, and in animated films, is there a particular type of acting you like the best? Do you like the interaction of an audience that's live? Yes, you're theatrical.
Yes.
I feel like we're at a play in your living room.
Yes. Tell them to bring down the curtain not too soon. No, I must say that I adore working in the theater because that's where I started. That's where I learned. That's where I discovered things about me as a performer that I would not have done had I not done that work. I'm very grateful for every one of my stage experiences because they all added up to what I do today. Because all that piles up and each experience is another part of you as a performer that gets used. And so the more you use it, the more you're accustomed to it, and the better you hope you become at it.
You know, I'm not an actor. I have never acted. I don't think I have the self-esteem. I don't deal with rejection very well.
Ah, is well, then don't do it.
No, so that's why I've never dabbled.
Just don't even attempt it.
So what is that like for young people that are thinking about being actors? How is rejection just a part of the nature?
Well, they're going to have to learn about it or don't do it.
So describe that. When you really want a part, do you have intuition? What do you do when you think, this is me, I have to have this role?
Well, you may think that, but you may not get that. There are many roles that I missed out on that I wanted to play so badly, but ultimately, in thinking about it, I don't think I would have been very good. Isn't that funny? It's such a game. It's not real, but the theatrical profession, by its very nature, is two-faced. One part of it is lying, and one part of it is telling ultimate truth. And you never know which part you're involved in. Oh, God, that's so true. It's so true. But I'll tell you something. The theatrical profession, for actors at least, can be the most extraordinary learning period of your life, no matter what role you're doing, because you are always exploring yourself for this character you're to play, but at the behest of a writer and a producer and a director. So you are going through those three components of what your performance is going to be. And I don't care what actors say what, but that's the way it is. You are going through those three people, and your performance is going to change as much as you are able. A lot of us cannot make those changes.
You know, what was amazing with the Freedom Writers film, a lot of people who were in the film, whether it was Hilary Swank, who played me, or Patrick Dempsey, the students, they did not have a great relationship with school. And the movie gave them an opportunity for a do-over.
Oh, that's marvelous.
So Hilary Swank had told me she didn't graduate from high school. So it gave her an opportunity to go back to school. Patrick Dempsey had dyslexia, a learning disability. So he got to go back to school. So for you, since your scene is filmed in a school library, what was it like to go back to school as an adult and be in this movie?
It was wonderful. I loved doing this role because I loved the character, and it felt good. It felt good. And I don't know if it's my interest in the world of teaching. I think that ability to teach young people is a great gift, and you're passing on some of the greatest things that our culture has to offer young people. The nuns that taught me were a very simple order from Spain, who came to this country, to Los Angeles, and set up shop there. What great teachers they were. I thank them for everything I have in my education. I thank them every day of my life, because I'll remember Sister So-and-so said that about this. And they brought life into teaching so that we were not closeted with just a religious person. In fact, one nun was responsible for my father getting a job with the city of Los Angeles, where he worked for 40 years.
Wow.
And the reason was, and this is so like nuns, I was crying one day, and this nun came up to me, Sister Marina, an angel if ever there was one. She said, "Patsy, what are you crying about?" And I said, "My daddy doesn't have a job." She said, "You stop crying. He's going to have a job within the next 2 days," and he did. Thank you, Sister Marina. She was responsible for our family getting food on the table, God bless her. Always trust a nun. Whatever they want to do for you, let them do it. I swear to God, I've been that way about nuns all my life. And it caught on to my father as well. Oh my God, he would do anything for the nuns. Anything. God bless him.
Was there ever an Ursula nun?
No. No, no. They've been too repressed. And I'm saying the truth. I'm not making that up. It's a holy truth. And bless their hearts. They gave me so much.
What is it like when you grow up with people and then you're famous. And they find you and they say, I knew you when. I knew you when you were in elementary school, or I knew you were in middle school. Did any of those nuns ever suspect that cute little Pat Carroll was going to be a famous actress? Not
one. I don't think so. I don't know why, but they knew I was a show off. They knew that. They had prime examples of that. But I think they thought I was going to be a nun. Isn't that funny? I almost entered the order because I admired them so much. But that's not enough reason. Oh, God, but they did such good. Did such good.
When did you discover that you had a beautiful singing voice?
I never have discovered that. I sing because I'm asked to because of a certain role, but I don't consider myself a singer.
Truly?
No, no. I consider myself an actress who is able to, under the tutelage of a director and a musical director, do a musical role, but I am not a trained singer.
I feel like every kid in America can sing your songs, especially from The Little Mermaid.
Oh, well, yes, but those are great songs. Anybody who can sing a bit could sing those songs.
Could you sing a bit? You want to do a line?
I wouldn't remember. You know, the thing about my brain is, it's a good brain, thank you, Lord, but I can forget very quickly, and many times I will lose things, and particularly now at this age, I'm losing things constantly, but it doesn't upset me, it makes me laugh.
You have the most beautiful blue eyes. They sparkle and they twinkle.
Oh, good.
And you're full of mischief.
Oh, yes, I am. I always have been.
Full of mischief. So when you have sang songs, have you ever been in mixed company and hear people singing a song that you originated? And what is that like?
It's fun. It's fun. And it makes you feel good. And I like that feeling. Doesn't everybody? But I've been very fortunate in my profession as an actress in that I have run into enough directors and musical directors who knew I was capable of delivering what they wanted, that I was not per se a singer, but I could do what they wanted to be done. So I've had the joy of working musically with some very good people, and I enjoyed it enormously, and I learned a lot, you know. So I never stopped learning once I got into this profession. I've learned constantly from awfully good people, and I'm very grateful.
One of the questions I'm asked often, which is a testament to you, is when kids have seen the feature film Freedom Riders and they see you playing Meep, they actually think you are Meep. Oh. That it's like a documentary.
Greatest compliment.
It's the greatest compliment. It's so endearing because there are Holocaust survivors in the film who played themselves, but you captured her spirit and her light in such a way that it's so authentic that people constantly ask me. And I saw a little girl a week ago. She's 10 years old. She's in fifth grade. And she played you. To me, for the first time I saw the Freedom Riders play, they constructed a play and a little girl.
Oh, isn't that, aren't you delighted?
I cried the entire play.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I wish you could have seen this 10-year-old girl being the embodiment of you. So what is that like to know that you still got it? You're still inspiring.
I hope so, but you never know. Oh, I love that. And I love being involved with kids who are just getting into that thing of acting and the theater, and whether it's in school or not, doesn't make any difference. It is what it is. And I love when kids discover what joy that is, what absolute joy. And I can remember when I first started doing plays in school. Oh, it was a door that opened up, and I saw the world beyond it. I was so excited I couldn't stand it, and that's when I knew I was going to be an actress. I knew I was going to do this professionally.
So you've been a kid your whole life?
Yeah.
You've been playing your whole life?
Yes, I have, and I continue to at the age of 92. I don't care. I have a good time no matter what. Pay me or don't pay me. I just do what I want to do.
I think what would be great for kids listening is, you have so much joy. You just laugh. You crack yourself up. For kids who are in dark places, being an actor could be a window to a different world. So is there advice you could give to a kid who needs to laugh and have the joy that you have. And maybe acting is a calling they didn't even know they were called to.
Well, first they have to know what it's like. So I would suggest to them that they do any of the plays at school, because any minute that you're dealing with words not your own in the character of somebody else, you're acting. And I don't care how good or how bad, you are acting. And I think kids have to know what that's like. It's a good feeling. It's not a bad feeling. And you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. It's something you can just do during your school years and still have fun and enjoy it and get a kick out of it. I don't know what I would do without those years of school dramatics and plays. And we even wrote some of our own, which was even more exciting. And bless the teachers, including the good nuns who did it for us, who encourage kids to do that, to write their own plays, to do their own productions. Just do it. You don't have to have the experience. Just do it. Get it done. Get it up on the stage. Get those other kids acting with you. And it's such fun. I'm sure young athletes feel the same way. It's that sense of doing something with other people together. It's great.
It's contagious.
Yes, it is. It is. It's catching like measles.
In a good way.
In a good way. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Listen, I am so grateful for the years of my school, because the good nuns allowed us to do showbiz, and we got to put on plays, and we got to put on musicals. And bless those nuns for encouraging that kind of work from young students, because it opens up doors you didn't even know were closed. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
At 92 years young.
That's me. Hey.
What is your favorite role? What was your favorite production?
That's an interesting question. Ursula.
Oh. She's everyone's favorite. She's everyone's favorite.
You know why? That crazy old character has such an energy and is so to life. You know, she is, from the first time I picked up that script, I knew this was what I was supposed to play, because she has everything in her that I have. And I just love to go at people. I adore it, you know? It makes me feel so free. Look at there. It doesn't cost a penny, does it? Oh, God, I have fun. How dare I have made a living at something I have such fun at. And that's true. I am so grateful I was in this profession I could spit.
Can I tell you a sweet story?
You?
There is a teacher from London, England. His name is Sam Norwood, and he's a Freedom Writer teacher. And he teaches mostly students of refugees. Two summers ago, he was with all the Freedom Writers, and we were playing a bingo game where everyone had to reveal something about themselves. And Sam stood up and he said when he was a little boy, 11 years old, all he wanted to do was to play Ursula in the school play.
Oh my golly.
And his school was very conservative and they would not allow him bring Ursula to life. And
shame
so
on them.
On the final day of our teacher institute, we had gone online, we bought the Ursula costume, we had a chorus, and the lights came down low and we turned them on and Sam was transformed into Ursula. 20 years later, the joy that he had, the reckless abandon, we were crying, we were hooting, we were hollering. You made Sam's dream come true.
Oh, isn't that?
He got to be Ursula.
Oh my God, and what a fun character to be.
And he flitted and he floated and he just, like, he was larger than life.
Oh, that's marvelous. Oh God, that's good. That's good. That's what's great about characters like Ursula. If they free young people from any sense of being bound up, just let it fly, baby. Let it fly. And that's what Ursula does, because she is that character.
She's actually more fun than the heroine.
Yes,
you think?
Yes. And she's a pain in the ass, but she's more fun. And I think she's wilder and she has more imagination. A wonderful character to play.
So you don't find yourself being drawn to watching a Disney tale or two that you've been in? Or is that weird to watch yourself?
No, I usually watch to see how well I did. or if I didn't do well, and how could I change that next time round? That's the good thing about watching yourself, because you know the difference between good and bad. And if you've done bad, don't do that again. It's helpful. It's not a job of admiring yourself or the work you do, but it's checking up on your work, because you know the difference between good and bad. I think that's behind every actor's ego, being more than just flighting, having some kind of impact, because that means you have made an impact as an actor, not as a political leader, not as a teacher, not as anything, but an actor. I tell you, to want to go into this business, this is why I'll do anything for young people who are wanting to go into this profession, because it has a lot of negativity to it, but the rewards are worth it. And I mean the rewards of the work itself. I don't mean money. I don't mean reputation. I just mean that the work itself is rewarding. And I have enjoyed every year of my life in this profession. I have enjoyed, and I put quotes around that word. It has not been, such a troubled life. No! I've had a ball all the time, and I think everybody should. How marvelous to be able to do what we do. Aren't we lucky? Aren't we damn lucky?
Meep geese live to be 100 years old. 100 years old.
Oh my God. Well, she deserved to. She'd done a lot of good in her life.
So imagining that you will also live to be 100 years old.
Oh, I hope so.
What would you want them to say about your life?
She was a bitch. That's at least interesting. I mean that. I'm not kidding. Oh, don't we have fun?
Well, I'm glad that there's still the joy.
Yeah. You betcha. You betcha. And I have been so damn lucky. Thank you, dear Lord. I've met so many good people. I've had so many good experiences. I've never had a bad time. And that's wonderful about any business you're in, you know, isn't it? Isn't it the truth? Isn't it the truth?
You're probably all of 5 foot, maybe?
Who, me?
Yes. How tall are you?
I think I've probably shrunk now that I'm an old broad. I think I'm 5'3".
But you're larger than life to me. I feel like you're a giant. I say that.
Well, I am literally larger than life.
No, you are. Whole being is bold.
I'm enthusiastic.
You're enthusiastic and you just can feel it.
Yeah. Well, I always have been. Even when I was a kid, I was the same way. I haven't changed that much over the years. And my oldest friends will tell you that. I've always been this person. Enthusiastic to learn, and always, I enjoyed what we did. I enjoyed.
So what advice could you give to a kid who's maybe 5 feet tall? Maybe a kid who needs joy. How could you encourage them to take a risk, to be okay with rejection, to follow a dream like you have done?
I just wish that kids would try things. Don't be afraid to try anything except something that's bad. Don't try that. That stinks. But try anything that's good. Anything that makes you feel better. Anything that makes you feel fuller as a human being. Try it. Try it. Doesn't mean you have to succeed at it. Just try it. See what it feels like. Because it's that sympathy that we, all of us, should have for each other. We should have simpatico for each other. Because we all share the same humanity. We do. And we all have different personalities, and we all have different tastes and wants and the rest of it. But we're all human beings together. Come on, try it like a team.
I'm so grateful to our guest, Pat Carroll, for sharing her animated spirit and for being a part of the Freedom Writer story. Pat's strength and love for life mirror Meep's message for the Freedom Writers so well, which is why we wanted to allow Narada Comans, an original Freedom Writer, the ability to reflect on meeting Meep.
Hi, my name is Narada Comans. I'm an original Freedom Writer, and I'm going to take you back to room 203 when we first wrote letters and actually met Meep Geese. It was pretty intimidating to write letters to Meep Geese because here we had somebody we read about and idolized and admired for the good work that she did and for hiding Anne Frank and her family. We all had our fingers crossed because we didn't have that direct line to her. in hopes that she would read the letters, and she did read them and was actually coming. When we knew that she was gonna come, we started freaking out first. Like, oh my God, she read the letters. We made flyers, banners, we got the word out, we got the press involved. We told our friends and family, we told whoever would hear and handed a flyer to come join us and honor her and respect her. I remember my mom being there, and I just remember taking that walk over there, and you know how things just hit you. It's just, oh my God, this is really, it's happening. It's a very surreal moment. I look back at it. It's one of the very first times where a teacher has told us that if you set your mind to something, dreams can happen, or that cliche of whatever, if you work hard enough. It was like, how many times have we heard that? To actually have proof that you can set a goal and it actually happened, because that's what you wanted, because that's what you set out to do. I remember just being giddy, just sitting in the seat, and lucky Darius got to escort her down. And I'm sitting in the aisle, and she's not that far from me as she's walking, and we did the homework. We knew how important Meep Geese was to Anne Frank and the Frank family. We knew the accomplishments, but we didn't know the lady. I think after that presentation and after she spoke to us and called us heroes, oh my God, to have your hero call you a hero, you're the one in the books, you're the one in the movie, you hit the Frank family. I think she passed the baton that day. She had to, because these were the things that fueled us to write the Freedom Writer's Diary in the first place. After her visit, she left us a great letter and a couple lines that pretty much stick out with me. Without hesitation, I state that this visit has been one of my most unique experiences. Several of your faces have been engraved in my heart. With warm regards, Meep Geese. Now being requested to come to schools and having letters written to you and, you know, sign books. To me, it's crazy. It's something you kind of never get used to. I was fortunate enough to go to the Middle East. I'm on the other side of the world, and there's Palestinian kids, and they start reading my story, and they're all happy that we're there. And I look at it as like, I have a responsibility now. Meep had a responsibility to tell her story. So we now have that responsibility of making sure that she better be looking down at us smiling, because that's what we wanted. Rest her soul. She's a part of our lives now. She's always been a part of our lives. I just hope to make her proud, just knowing that she didn't waste her time flying across the world for a bunch of knucklehead kids. Is the world a better place because of Meep Geese? Yes. Where have you seen somebody in real life rescue a family and put her life on the line? They had a gun pointed to her head, and here you have a real hero. Real hero. No spandex, no shield. You got a lady with a heart and guts, willing to put her life on the line for others. Damn, think about it. She could have been like, you know what? I don't want no problems. I can go on and live my life. Yo, Frank family, you're on your own. I don't want these things to happen to me. I'm just going to live my life and twiddle my thumbs and act like nothing. We don't get here. We don't get to this point because I'm a product of what she did. We all are. Anything Freedom Writer is a product of what she did. We're a part of that. For the last 20 years, we've been blessed and we've been humbled and thankful to be able to get into classrooms and go all over the world and train teachers all over the world. And we're proof that it did matter. We need to see that, especially these days. We need to see real heroism. We need to see humanity. We need to see people caring about one another. Meep's story, her legacy that she left on this earth, she's proof. She's nothing a Hollywood script or a Marvel comic had to write up. She was a hero, and here we are all these years later mentioning her because we're supposed to. She's a part of us now. Every time we speak in front of kids or somebody watches a documentary or watches the movie and is inspired, or we give a hug or we give a word of encouragement, any and every time that we do that, that's Meep Geese. Nothing takes that away. That's forever. That's forever.
Forever indeed. In honor of Meep, May we see the humanity. May we embrace the hero in us all. And may we all be the light in dark places. That concludes our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruel. This episode was produced and edited by Matt Martin Hall and Rob Falk. Until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.